Welcome to Hempaware Radio, your go-to podcast for all things hemp, hosted by Tyler Hemp. That's me. We're going to dive deep into the world of hemp with insights, trends, and interviews, as usual, with an industry expert bringing you the latest from the ever-evolving hemp market. Discover the potential of hemp in its sustainability, health, and beyond. Whether you're an entrepreneur, enthusiast, or just a curious hempster, join us on this journey to uncover the untapped opportunities of hemp and discover what other hempsters and hemptrepreneurs are doing to succeed in the world of hemp. Learn more and tune in at hempaware.com/radio. And let's explore together how hemp can change the world. Today on Hempaware Radio, I am thrilled to welcome Alicia Fall, the visionary behind Her Many Voices Foundation. Their website is hermanyvoices.org. Alicia's dedication to grassroots activism through hemp is reshaping our world, turning the spotlight on how this remarkable plant can be a catalyst for global change. Her Many Voices is at the forefront of harnessing hemp's potential to address environmental, social, and economic challenges, embodying the essence of innovation and community empowerment. Join us as we dive into a conversation with Alicia about her inspiring work, the impact of hemp on sustainable development, and how her organization is making waves in the global and local effort to create a healthier, greener, and more equitable planet. So thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being on the show today, Alicia.
Thank you for inviting me today, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So how I usually like to start off our conversations is getting a little bit of background of who you are as an Indigenous woman and, you know, what inspired you to create Her Many Voices and ultimately what led you to incorporate hemp into what you're doing with your organization.
Well, first of all, I am Eastern Band Salagi, Cherokee, and Cuban Taino. I am born and raised New Yorker, and I spent a number of years in Colorado and started my organization there. As a matter of fact, prior to it, I spent most of my adult career in the music industry, and I started doing a whole lot of benefit concerts, so I thought, why not marry the artistic with the humanitarian world? And Her Many Voices was birthed from that. As a matter of fact, last month on March 2nd, we celebrated 15 years, which I am very proud of. You know, I feel like I blinked and suddenly all of that time went by. And maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, because of the work that we were doing in Haiti, I was starting having these reflections on, all right, we're looking at what can we do for sustainable housing? What can we do to help feed people? What can we do to, and the endless list of all those things that we know that hemp can handle. And so I found a friend of mine, Tommy Nuhulu, who is a Hawaiian artist and now on our board. And Tommy was involved in the hemp industry. And I asked him, tell me more about this plant. And he did a little introduction, and then he introduced me to some folks who were getting ready to build a structure in Denver, not too far from where I was living at the time. And Tyler, when I say to you, this plant spoke to me immediately, as soon as I got there and I had my hands in it, it was instantaneous. And I thought, okay, we got to do something here with this. And so it started with that. And over the years, I've done my own trainings and I continue to take workshops and learn for what I can do and how this plant actually can help people. We even have products, CBD products, hemp products, that kind of thing. So that's how it would be, you know, that's what really ignited me in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And that was about 7 or 8 years ago.
Wow. So you started out as a musician. You felt like music was your gift for creating peace and bringing people together and really using that as your humanitarian efforts. And you started asking those deep questions, like how can we start incorporating sustainable housing? How can we feed more people? And it seemed like just this natural evolution. And with meeting Tommy Nuhulu, who introduced you to hemp, you had this encounter with the plant itself. Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, how did it feel? What were you doing? Like, what did you have, like an epiphany, or what sort of feelings were you going through in that moment?
Well, there were some folks who were building a structure, a hemp structure. And so I had an opportunity to experience what does the plant look like? Then what are the stages of, you know, the phases of what's it look like when you've cut it after the harvest? And what does it look like after it's gone through the process? And, you know, depending on what you're going to use this plant for, it's going to have a different look at the end. And this particular process that I was experiencing was for a structure. So some folks will call it hempcrete, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a mix of the herd from the hemp and limestone and some water. And, you know, depending on where, what your region is, you might throw in some other aggregates in it. But doing that, just having that experience of seeing the plant firsthand, having that connection, and then going through the process of doing the mix, and then actually creating the forms to build the structure, that's when it all hit me. And mm-hmm. when I say this plant spoke to me, I kid you not, I feel this plant spoke to me.
Mm.
And, you know, it said, I'm here to be used, you know. And I recognized in my studies that this was something that we had been using, humans had been using for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was taken from us for control reasons, for race reasons, racial issues. Mm-hmm. And now that it's coming back into the fold, you know, we still have issues of control and fear and all of that. There's a lot of ignorance around the plant.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, this one plant can do all sorts of things.
I can relate.
Yeah.
I had that same moment where I knew about hemp for a few years in different contexts, but there was just one moment where the light bulb went off for me, and that was it. I said, this is why I'm on this planet. I knew my calling. I knew my mission and gift. And so you and I have the music thing in common as well. I'm a musician, and I thought originally that was going to be my vehicle for creating peace on earth and transforming people's lives. But when I saw that this one plant could create food and shelter and clothing and energy, plastics, medicine, fuel, and all the rest, I thought, well, I'm still going to be a musician and utilize music to create harmony and peace on earth, but hemp is it, and it's my vehicle. So that's why I love having these types of conversations with people like yourself. So to go into her many voices, like the central vision, because you started out with the music and the community, and then about 7 years ago incorporated hemp. What is sort of the central goal and vision for the organization? Because I know you have some different types of products and you do services and gatherings. And so give us that sort of big vision.
So when people ask me, what do? I always respond with, I work for women, children, and Mother Earth. And so Her Many Voices is about providing practical education and resources for underserved communities, predominantly Indigenous communities, not exclusive to, but predominantly. And our work is international. When I first started the organization, the core value, the tag that we used is artist's response to humanitarian need. And since then, we have expanded to include global community members as well as activists. I always make reference to the artivists, you know, engaging the artivists to better the world, right? Make the world a better place for women and children and Mother Earth. And so that's where the inspiration is. And that's all of the programs and all of the projects that we do are focused around that core value.
Mm-hmm. Serving women, serving children, serving Mother Earth.
Yes.
And they're predominantly Indigenous groups and cultures around the world, but you also expand into other communities as well with your teachings and services and products.
Exactly. Yeah. And our core value is whatever I do for another, I do for myself. And that was something that my mother had instilled in me at a very young age. And it just makes sense. If I'm helping someone else, I'm helping myself. If you do something, some kind of kindness for me, guess what? You're experiencing that as well. And the same thing can be said for if whatever I do to another, I do to myself. You have to keep that in mind because we are all so connected. And not only, I'm not talking about just the bipeds, right? I'm talking about we are completely, completely connected through all of nature, through all of life in existence. So, you know, recognizing whatever I do for or to another, I do for or to myself. You know, I keep that in mind when we start talking about maybe tending to the soil. You know, what are we doing around our air? What are we doing around our foods? What are we doing around just social justice issues?
Absolutely. Is there a moment or maybe a particular story or experience that you can remember where you applied that philosophy of what I do to another, I do to myself, where you immediately saw the energy reciprocate and you realized sort of like the reality or had that, you know, visceral experience of what you do to another, you do to yourself?
Well, the whole whatever I do for another, that's an easy, that's kind of the no-brainer, you know. From the time we're young children, we're doing for others. We have this unfiltered love, right? And we recognize and we're very empathic and compassionate as children. And something happens over the course of our lives where sometimes that gets dialed down and it doesn't have to. And that's where the whatever I do to another comes in. So the whatever I do for another, that has been an experience my entire life. I've been on the receiving end of people caring for me. And then I've done the same for others. The whatever I do to another, that's a whole different story. You know, this is a wounded world. I can't really honestly say that I can pinpoint a particular moment in time where I felt that kind of impact of what have I done to another or what has someone else done to me. It's just, that's kind of the ebb and flow of humanity or lack of in many cases, right?
Yeah.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah. And having that little mind shift, I think can be so empowering. A lot of times people think they go through life thinking and experiencing things as though they're happening to them. Like, why did this happen to me? You know, they feel guilt or they feel shame or just like they're a victim. And when you have that little shift in your mind that, you know, this is happening for me, it almost becomes a gift. It becomes an opportunity. It becomes a platform for transformation, and you can utilize that experience for greater good, whether it be something difficult, challenging, you know, a struggle or painful. When you have that little shift, like, you know, I'm doing this for another and therefore I'm doing it for myself, it can make all the difference in how we behave and treat one another.
Absolutely.
And they say that peace on earth starts with peace in our homes. And so I feel like this expression or this axiom that you live by really brings that right to the heart, right to the home.
It does. It does. Yeah. I'm reminded of a quote of Gandhi's, "He who does not see God in the next person, you need look no further." You know, now God is it's a concept, right? You might believe there is this patriarchal kind of structure. You might believe that God is gravity, whatever it is, you know. But if I'm looking at you, how can I not understand that you are the greatest creation that there is, recognizing I am the greatest creation that there is? Yeah. And so you've got to see that God within each other.
Yogi Bhajan's quoted for saying, if you can't see God in all, you can't see God at all.
Yes. Yeah.
That's beautiful. So I'm certain that your products, your services are just imbued with this kindness and this mentality of service. So I'm curious to learn a little bit more about what you guys do as far as meetings, you know, getting together with the community. I know you do like live event type things, and then you also have a product line. Can you share a little bit more about each of those?
Yeah. So right now, well, first of all, we have a number of programs and projects that are happening. Some of the programs, we have Indigenous Permaculture. We do an Indigenomics series where we do these trainings on financial wisdom, right? You know, we often think, well, unless you're part of the 1%, then you don't come close to, you know, being able to take care of yourself financially. And that's not true. You know, we get to educate people on how to dial it down. You might have $5 a month and not $5,000 a month to invest in yourself and your community and your environment. So that's a part of our Indigenomics. And then we have other programs where we do workshops where we're educating people on hemp. And it could be that we have a community that is interested in maybe making a hemp product in particular, or they're interested in learning how to build their own home within their community. So we have our core network where we collaborate with, and we provide those educational tools. And as far as the products are concerned, we have bath salts, we've got soaps, they're handmade by Indigenous Hopi Dene women. We have something called a vitality elixir. I had elders in mind when I created the recipe for that. There's a lot of the function was for not only the CBD, but there's lion's mane in there for brain function. There's turmeric, there's pepper, there's ginger, that kind of thing. And then there's a coconut oil, CBD coconut oil. For a while there, because of the pandemic, we worked with Nepalese women and they created hemp masks for us, which we've been distributing in different communities. And then we've got some liquid bath soaps. Now we've got a gentleman who's come on board with us and he's doing a lot of R&D for us at the moment. We've got a kitchen that we're working out of that's a compliant kitchen for cannabis. And we now have CBD creamers, hot chocolate, and he's working on a couple of other things for us at the moment. And as a matter of fact, we've got NOCO, the Northern Colorado Hemp Expo, is happening this week in Estes Park in Colorado. And that's the April 11th through the 13th. And we'll have our products there for sale. And we'd love for anybody to come and join us and have a little conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's delightful. So you're doing these permaculture workshops, which is awesome, teaching the indigenous ways of gardening and tending to the land, which sounds really fascinating. And then you said you also help with education around investing and financial consciousness, realizing that even with very little, we can do a lot. We can, yeah, as long as we understand how to manage what we have, we can live good, healthy, abundant lives and not needing to be a part of the 1% to think that we can live healthy, wealthy lives.
Yeah. You know, there's some very basic things that we don't get educational wise around finances, very basic things. And so when you come from the communities I work with and in the environment that I grew up in, you come into a world of quote unquote feeling lacking, because you don't have that education and you feel like it's out of reach for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case at all. You know, mm-hmm, we have a human life value. We get to recognize what is the value of my life and how do I invest in myself to help myself and then help my family and my community in that. So that particular program is provided by our newly board chair, Tamar Kantaf, who also, we've been working together almost since the inception of Her Many Voices in Haiti.
That's wonderful. So anyone that is coming to these groups that may feel like they're not enough or they don't have the resources to live their dreams or maybe create something new, these workshops help not only educate about the mindset, about the connection with the earth, but then if they have an idea they want to bring to the market, you help bring resources, particularly for hemp-based products, And then you have your own line of products, which sound really, really cool. The bath soaps and the different products for the elders, which you had the elders in mind. I thought that was really, really thoughtful. Have you been able to get these into the hands of the elders as of yet? I know it's fairly new product.
Yes, we have. And we're getting wonderful responses. Yeah, including my own mother. My mother is 98 years old.
Wow.
And she is still, she lives independently and she's always on the run. And this is, you know, using these products have been helpful for her as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have folks, this is not necessarily strictly an elder product, you know, it can be used by all. Mm-hmm. We do have a number of people who've been dealing with health issues, particularly those who've been dealing with cancer, who've actually been using the product and having good results for themselves as well.
So, excellent. Which product in particular is that?
That is between the Vitality Elixir and also the coconut oil.
Oh, so is the elixir like a dropper? Is it like
elixir
a tincture?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that's the one that has the lion's mane in it, as well as the turmeric and ginger and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. That's great. So, and all of these products are available on hermanyvoices.org, where people can learn more about them and order them?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, as we speak, the website is being updated. And we should have everything good to go this week, especially since we have the NOCO event happening.
Wonderful.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention at NOCO, I believe it is happening on Saturday morning. We're doing a Get Outside campaign, and that's for the whole month of April. And it's in honor of Earth Day is coming up. It's April 22nd. It's a Monday this year. And so we've decided to do this Get Outside campaign. And we're asking people to go out into nature, whether it's their own backyard or a forest or the beach or wherever you can get that little glimmer of nature, take a photo of yourself, send it in, do a little title, talk about it a little bit, and send it in to us. We're also, if you are so inclined, please donate while you're doing this, knowing that the proceeds are going to Hermeni Voices, and we're partnering with Spirit of the Sun, which is an indigenous-led organization out of Denver, Colorado, and we'll be doing some work with indigenous youth in nature.
Spirit of the Sun.
Spirit of the Sun.
So if somebody takes a picture of themselves outside and they have a little story about this, would they email it to you? Would they do it on social media and tag your organization? Or what's the best
tag
way to
it? You can do the hashtags. You can do Hermeni Voices. You can do hashtag Honor the Earth. Hashtag Earth Day. Yeah. You can also email it to us. You can do info@hermenivoices.org.
Fun. Okay, great. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes.
Yeah. And we have our Facebook presence and Instagram and all of that, Twitter. So, yeah.
Great.
Encourage people to get in touch with, you know, there is nothing like getting your feet on the ground, getting your hands in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting and standing there and listening to the sounds of your environment, the trees, the birds, the rivers.
Yeah, it's so healing and so rewarding. It just, what one thing I've learned is the concept of grounding. It really, we're so disconnected from the earth and the cars and the houses and just being and living, you know, with shoes on all the time, having your bare feet just connected to the soil. It literally releases static electricity, which has a positive charge, which can be very draining on your energy. And so just standing on the earth can literally exchange the electrons to charge your aura, charge your electrical body. It's so real and so true.
Yeah, you get to plug in and you get to absorb, you know, all of that energy you put out in the day, you get to absorb back for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And your hands in the soil and those microbes, they are speaking to the very core of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's this hit, there's a dopamine effect You know, mm-hmm. simply put our hands in the soil. Mm-hmm. So we're encouraging people for this month to get outside and really engage in nature. If you happen to be in Colorado and you're going to be at the NOCO Hemp Expo this week, on Saturday morning, we are going to get together. We're doing a little walk in nature at 9 o'clock in the morning. Prior to the walk at 8 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have a little social time, a little coffee, hot chocolate. You can experience our CBD hot chocolate. You can experience our CBD creamers that we're launching this week.
Fun.
And get to know other hempsters.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, to shift gears kind of into more of the business side of things, because this is a hemptrepreneur podcast, I love sharing not only the story of hemp entrepreneurs that create hemp products and bring them to the market, but there's also the reality of the challenges that we all face as business owners. And so I'm wondering, what have been some of the biggest, I guess, challenges of running a hemp-based business, and how have you been able to work through those? What sort of principles do you live by to continue moving forward in spite of the difficulties of running your own hemp business?
Well, I can speak to the tenacity of just staying, hanging in there. You know, to say we've had 15 years of a nonprofit that's been active, and it's not been easy over the years. And so bringing hemp into the cycle of the work that we were doing, the biggest challenge, well, there are a couple of things. I mean, obviously you have the basic core of the financials, right? And then once getting over the hump of that, being able to create our products and do it in the way that we want to do it. People are coming to Indigenous peoples quite often to say, hey, listen, we need your help. We have created a nightmare of a planet. We're dealing with issues, all sorts of levels around climate change and the impact of that. And so, as you know, hemp is wonderful to address a lot of the issues that we're dealing with today. And so people come to Indigenous peoples because oftentimes you find where we might be 4 to 5% of the planet, but we have the responsibility or take on that responsibility of 80% of protecting mother and caring for her, tending to the forests and to the tropical areas and that sort of thing. In the struggles that we've had, it's mostly around people come to us. They want us to assist, but without the finances and without the land. So I believe at this point, you're seeing a lot of the land back campaigns because it's needed. You want the Indigenous wisdom. You have to bring the soil so we can share that wisdom with you on how to take care of Mother the best ways that we possibly can. Mm. And so moving forward for us, a big focus on a project that I have been very headstrong about is in creating what I consider a hemp longhouse cultural community center. And I use the phrase of longhouse simply because it's a part of my people. You know, the people use hogans, they have their own structures that they've used. And we would love to see pilots, programs all over the planet where we have these hemp structures, where we get to bring people together and have a knowledge exchange, right? So we can come, we can teach you everything from seed to end product and how to work with mother and how to work with other farmers and how to work with your community for the betterment of Mother Earth and for our future ancestors. You know, our children are they rely on us. And if we want to be a sustainable world, quote unquote, that word sustainable, we have to make a lot of different choices. And for me, I truly believe working in the hemp industry, we have the ability with this one particular plant to right a whole lot of wrongs, if you will, that we have created in the planet.
Absolutely.
I would love to see these particular knowledge labs in the hemp cultural centers all over. And I am this week having some meetings with folks here in Denver, Colorado, to discuss the possibility of having some land offered to us so we can have that one here. And I am doing the same thing on the other side of the pond as well.
Very cool. So it sounds like the biggest challenge, if I heard you correctly, is just really being able to manifest or bring to life these visions that you have or that other people have that come to you that may not have the land, they may not have the finances, but they have this beautiful dream and this beautiful vision, and being able to create that bridge for them from where they are to where they want to be. And maybe that these processes, these projects take longer than you would like them to. We want to see more progress more quickly. I think that's just human nature. We want it quick and fast and now, especially like you said, with the state of the world and with the dire need for more sustainable, eco-friendly solutions. I can totally relate and appreciate where you're coming from. But you are tenacious and persistent. And I mean, going 15 years now, you're in it to win it. I know you're in it for the long haul.
Yes, I am definitely in it for the long haul. Yeah.
So I know you have a wonderful team of people that are helping you with marketing and web design and sales and product creation. But just to have a sort of high level understanding of what you are currently doing to market your products and how you're getting your brand out there to your ideal customers, what are some of the channels that you guys are using, and what are you finding as the most effective ways to get sales and get your products in front of these ideal customers for your brand?
Well, I mean, like we said, we are relatively new in the whole scheme of things as far as the products are concerned. And a lot of the work we're doing right now is with R&D. But I would have to say the biggest thing, the biggest boon we gave to ourselves was in hiring a particular person for marketing. Victoria Carrington Chavez is our marketing person. She came on, she's an indigenous person. So to have another indigenous woman who has an understanding of just the fundamental cultural wisdom, you know, that we speak about has been very helpful. And so she's been working with us now for, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months, I believe. And she's the one who came up with the Get Outside campaign. And she's working on getting the placards that we need and the advertisement that's needed for the products themselves. So she's been helping us out a great deal with that.
Wonderful.
And we do have, there's a dispensary in New York that we're working with as well. So we're looking to branch out that way. And as of just a few weeks ago, I finally got my paperwork in the Netherlands for my BV, which is basically a corporation over there. And so, you know, now it's the research and now it's moving forward on the import-export sort of thing. So it's baby steps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been long in the making. In some ways, you feel like you're starting to rush. Everything is happening all at once. You know, we have a wonderful team of people, those who are creating the products for us to those who are helping us get the products out there.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like word of mouth, finding different strategic partnerships like dispensaries, going global. I mean, you have presence in another country, in the Netherlands. And then having this expert marketing person really spearhead was an important decision for you as a company, which I agree, marketing is the lifeblood of any business. If you know how to find a problem and solve that problem with whatever it is that you offer, and you have a hungry audience and you can get in front of them. And I know you have good quality products. I know that you guys believe in what you're doing and only use the best. And so getting those results for people is not going to be hard. It's just getting in front of enough of them to make sure they understand the benefit and the value of what you have to offer.
Exactly. Yeah. And our products they're natural, they're organic. That is very important for me. And, you know, it's the way that I feel like we need to go across the board. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of toxic materials out there, and we need healing. We don't need to consume any more of that toxicity. So to go the natural, organic way is the way that speaks to me.
Me too. It's essential.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to other hempsters, hemp entrepreneurs, or organizations that are maybe in a similar vein, being that they're philanthropic and they're wanting to contribute to making positive change in the world and helping communities? What sort of advice would you offer them, you know, in terms of running their organization or working with hemp in general?
Right now I'm having that reflection of it's an African proverb of if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, and for Her Many Voices, we do a lot of collaborative work. And I find that we have the most success when we can connect with others. You know, when we work together, we rise together. And so I would recommend the patience first, but also to reach out and to connect with others, because you never know what someone else can offer you and what you can offer them. So that's the one thing, at least I found, has worked well, is the collaborative work.
Mm.
You know, some of the products we started out with, it was strictly with CBD, and then to go and branch out to do those healing functional mushrooms that I personally had not been growing, but talking to someone else who was. And so coming together, that's made a difference. And the end product has made a difference for the people who are using our product.
Absolutely. Well, you've been super inspiring, and I love what you're doing. I look forward to experiencing one of your live events myself. If our listeners are wanting to get more involved with Her Many Voices, what would you recommend? Maybe the first step, second step to get involved in some of the services and products, or help you guys fulfill your mission? How can they get in touch with you and get involved?
First, I would say, you know, get in touch with, what is your passion? What do you really want to do? And then reach out to us and see, maybe there's some way that we can work together. info@hermanyvoices.org is probably the best way to reach us and introduce who you are and what you're passionate about. And then we can reach back out to you and set up a meeting and discuss where the collaboration can come. And for some people, it's just to come and not just to, but to come and volunteer. Like when we're doing an event like this week, we've got volunteers who will be coming in. And for other people, they want to be hands-on in some other way. And we can lead you, guide you in whatever direction that you feel would really fulfill you.
I love it. So get clear about your passion. What is it that excites you? Reach out, maybe volunteer at one of your events, or just see if you can set up a meeting to see how you guys could potentially collaborate.
Yes. And you know, for right now, even if you're thinking, well, I don't know if I want to take that step, join us in the Get Outside campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Go outside, get involved in nature, take some photos, send it in to Her Many Voices, tag us in on this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your friends, come get together with a group of people and do that. You know, create your own Get Outside campaign and just send us what happened with it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And then, you know, talk to people about, hey, listen, we know that there's this really cool organization there. They're doing this wonderful work, and it's all about Indigenous wisdom. And we want to be able to support it. So let's do some kind of event here and do a little fundraising in our own backyard, and knowing that the monies will go to a worthy cause.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, we used to do hemp aware parties many years ago, and it was what we referred to as our hemp education station for the whole nation, where we empower and hemp educate your hemposphere. And it's a way to demonstrate and showcase all the amazing uses for hemp. So I think that's another great idea. Not just doing the Get Outside campaign, share that, spread the good word, but then think about how you could organize an event in your local area to help spread the good word and show people all the amazing uses for hemp.
And the other thing that you can do, check in on us. We do a monthly podcast and we do a Gaia gossip, you know, so something might speak to you. We've got a number of experts from all over the planet. We've got people who have been doing the work for a very long time. We've got people who have just started and they're passionate about, and they're driven, and they're doing some very fine work for Mother and their community. And so join us on our Gaia Casa program, which is once a month. And who knows, maybe there's somebody that speaks to you on our program.
That sounds fun. Yeah, I'll include that in the show notes, the Gaia Gossip podcast. Well, thank you so much, Alicia. I have one last philosophical question, and it's really just imagining that you're in front of the entire world. You're on this podium, and everybody in the world is your audience, and you had 30 seconds to share a message with them. What would you want them to know?
I want you to know that whatever you do for another, you do for yourself.
It's so easy, so simple.
It is so simple. We complicate things on a regular basis. We want to make something more of it, but it is that simple.
Mm-hmm. Like Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself.
There you go.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you again so much for sharing this time. And I really look forward to being a part of your vision and mission, bringing this to life, and look forward to hopefully seeing you at one of the events soon. And again, thank you for joining me on this Hempisode of Hemp Aware Radio.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. This is your Hemptrepreneurial host, Tyler Hemp, here to empower your hemposphere. Check out us on hempaware.com/radio to hear all the episodes. Share this with your friends and family. Get the good word out about hemp. And feel free to email us support@hempaware.com if you have any ideas on what you want to hear next. Thanks again for tuning in.